Welcome to Island Ghost Radio. I'm Mike Taylor.
I'm Diane Castell.
And I am Erica Popino.
Tonight on the show, we have Michael Carrico. He is the founder of Las Vegas Paranormal Investigations. So we're going to be speaking to him soon. But first, we wanted to cover our poll that we had up on our...
You're going to cover your poll?
Oh. Where's that rim shot sound?
Thank you.
Okay. Now, we had a poll up on our blogger page at islandghostradio.blogspot.com. Had it up there for a week, and we were asking, what is your favorite ghost TV show? Ghost is in quotations.
Ghost, yes. Paranormal show.
Paranormal show. And we're going to go through the results right now. So are we ready for this?
I'd like to know.
Yes, I would too.
All right, well, why don't I read off who we had on the list, okay? We had the TV show A Haunting. We had Paranormal State, Ghost Hunters, Ghost Hunters International, Ghost Adventures. Did I miss one?
Yeah, you missed Most Haunted.
Oh, yeah, crap.
Most people miss Most Haunted.
I know I do.
Okay. We had Most Haunted and we had Other. I let people just choose Other in case there was one I forgot to put in there.
Yeah, I think that pretty much covers it for now.
At least all the major ones.
Are we ready for the poll results?
Ready,
wait,
sir.
I would like to take a stab at this and say Most Haunted didn't win. Am I right?
You are correct.
I know it's a long shot.
Haunted got 5 votes. They came in number 7 with 5 votes.
Now, who the heck were those 5 votes? Can we find out who that was?
I have no clue, but...
Wow.
Probably the stars of the show.
You know what's really sad is Other beat out Most Haunted.
Did it really?
Yeah.
I prefer Other than
I would
Most
rather
Haunted.
Watch Other any day.
Other got 20 votes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wonder what that Other is.
I don't know.
If anybody out there voted for Other.
Maybe shows like Ghost Trackers. I didn't put that in.
Ghost Trackers, yes. 12-year-olds ghost hunting with equipment.
So we have Most Haunted at number 7. Number 6 is Other. At number 5, want to take a guess what number 5 was?
Paranormal State.
No. A
ghost
Haunting.
Hunter. A Haunting.
A Haunting. That's the show on...
Well, they have to start making...
Discovery Channel.
Yes.
They got to make new ones.
I was just
going
to say
show.
That. They have to start making new episodes.
I like that show.
We just bought them on DVD. We have all of them now.
Yeah, yeah. Haunting got 27 votes. And at number four was...
Paranormal State.
Yes, Paranormal State.
Okay, I got the next one too,
I bet. That's 33 votes Paranormal State received. Okay, next. You want to take a stab at the next one?
Yes, GHI.
Yes.
Yes, you are correct. With 42 votes, GHI came in third.
I know what number 2 is, I bet.
All right, take a stab at it. Go for it. You don't have many choices to pick from, so go ahead.
Ghost Adventures.
Yes, Ghost Adventures got 81 votes.
That leaves Ghost Hunters as the winner.
Yes, it does.
How many votes did Ghost Hunters get?
Ghost Hunters got 90 votes.
Yeah, I could have figured that. Teflon Jason and Teflon Grant win.
Well, I'm going to reserve my comment on what my favorite show is, but I would like to see an investigation show with parapsychologists like Dr. Barry Taff or Lloyd Arbach.
Absolutely. Somebody in there who's smart and knows what they're doing.
Well, we were just talking about that the other night when we did the teleconference or the teleseminar with Lloyd, that he should have a TV show.
Yeah, I don't want to see hacks on TV like us. I want to see, like, parapsychologists.
The professionals who actually have degrees in this field.
Yeah.
You know what the show I want to see is, and I've told you this before, I want to see a show where, say, they just go around to different areas in the United States and do an investigation with a different group every week. A different group is featured every week. And then this way you could see how different things are done and different methods and theories and that kind of thing. I think that's a good idea. Somebody do it.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the audience agrees with you.
Thank you. Thank you. Send all royalties to Erica Popino.
Well, that was a good poll. We had a big response when voting, and our next poll question is going to be up soon. So if you go to islandghostradio.blogspot.com, you can vote.
Do we know what the next question is going to be?
Yes, we do. I'm glad you asked.
See, we do, Diane.
The next poll question, what do you think orbs are? Don't answer.
But I can't let that go.
Yeah. But
I have to. I have to.
No. You don't get on the soapbox.
No. Are you saying orbs or what people think are orbs in photos?
I will.
You got to get specific.
I will put the questions in.
Because there are real orbs.
All right.
Well, this is just the standard definition of orbs in, I guess, photography and paranormal investigating, correct?
Okay. Then.
Yes.
I won't say a thing.
Is it dusty in here, Erica?
Yeah, it's dusty in here. Moisture.
Are you feeling rather moist?
Bender.
Gross.
Ew. You said it.
No, you said it.
You said moist.
Go cover your pole or something.
Kitty litter dust.
Oh. All right. So we're going to get to our guest in a minute here. But if you want to vote on that question again, islandghostradio.blogspot.com.
Okay.
And we'll be right back with our guest.
Bathroom break.
Hi, do you like ghosts? I sure do. Then you should come with us, Island Ghost Radio, to the haunted Shanley Hotel.
The Shanley Hotel in Napanock, New York?
Yes.
Wow, that place is really haunted.
Oh, it is, and it's going to be haunted on August 22nd. You can investigate with Island Ghost Radio in person, live.
Woohoo!
So visit islandghostradio.com and look at our events section for details.
Can I go?
Why, yes, you can.
Cool. I'll be there.
Thanks. Islandghostradio.com, folks. Ah, yes.
See you at the Shanley.
Yes, see you at the Shanley. Oh, it's wonderful to see you at the Shanley Hotel. The Shanley, the Shanley Hotel, the Shanley with Island Ghost Radio.
Yeah!
Our guest tonight is Michael Carrico. He is the founder of Las Vegas Paranormal Investigations. LVPI was formed in 2004 to help people of the Las Vegas Valley understand the paranormal through education and investigations. Thank you for joining us, Mike.
Thanks for having me on the guest.
Do you mind if I call you Mike or Michael?
Either or.
Okay, because I'm a Michael too, and I'm flexible.
My wife calls me Michael when she gets mad at me. So.
I know. My brother's name is Michael, and my mom would do the same thing. Michael!
Yeah, my mom would always call me Michael whenever she was angry. You're in Las Vegas, and I'm really kind of surprised that you're doing a radio show, because from what I understand, everything that happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Oh, God.
Are you going to get in trouble with, like, the Vegas authorities for doing our show tonight?
No, it's not. No, that's the that thing is I think they're trying to sell it to somebody or something, and sort of some sort of legalities. But, no, it's okay if you say it.
Really?
It's a big thing. It just gets, when you hear it, it's like, ugh, I live here, I don't want to hear it anymore.
Well, I got to ask, and this is off the paranormal topic, because we get bombarded with those commercials. Do they actually play those commercials in Vegas?
Yes.
Really?
He sounds thrilled.
It's like, yes.
Well, when they play it, I just turn it to another channel or something. It's like, oh, gotta hear it. You know, you gotta hear it.
Oh, great. So let's start here. What got you started as a paranormal investigator? Did you have any experiences growing up?
Personal. Well, I first started out younger age, you know, 8 or 9, it would be watching Leonard Nimoy. You guys remember In Search of with Leonard Nimoy?
Oh, yes.
Yep.
That show, I'd watch that, and then kind of some of the corny, cheesy drive-in movies like The Creature from Black Lake, Legend of Boggy Creek, and that kind of got growing up in the Pacific Northwest, my aunt had an experience where she actually saw Sasquatch, so Ooh. That kind of got my interest in that. And then in 1990, I was working at a movie theater here in Vegas, and one of the managers told me that the theater's haunted. It was a Cineplex. But I was like, I don't know if I believe that or not, but I was always wondering why I was hearing weird noises. The theater was old anyway. So there was one where I was cleaning up one of the pods. That's what they call one of the theaters, the pods. And I was in there cleaning, and they have an automatic timer in the back where you would turn on the lights. So I went in the back. I turned it on for like 30 minutes, went down, started cleaning. And the lights went off. And I was like, well, I just said it. So I walked back up, turned it back on again, and went back down and started cleaning. Third time it happened again, I'm like, well, this is, you know, maybe there's something the matter with the electronic gizmo behind the timer. So I went back up and turned on the timer. And I looked down in the third row, middle seat. The theater chairs, where the old ones where they recline, you can rock in them.
Right. Yes.
One of the chairs was rocking by itself, so I was like, okay. So I was like, I went back to the manager probably a couple of days after that, and I said, this is what had happened. And he explained to me that there was a manager that was embezzling money from the theater, and he committed suicide in the lobby and hung himself. So that kind of sparked it along. And then as time went on, a friend of mine was working at a hotel where I work at, and we were sitting there, you know, kind of throwing things around, and I just said, you know what, why don't we start this, you know, we'll start Las Vegas Paranormal Investigations, you know, there's other groups in town, but I was like, we'll be a little bit different. So we first started out with a camera, an EMF meter, and a voice recorder, you know, the basics.
Right.
And we started doing, you know, we told people at work that, you know what, if you guys have any paranormal activity, just let us know. And we got a couple of bites, you know, we went in and did a couple of private residences, and I told, Wally Luna, he's the co-founder of the group, and I turned to him and I said, why don't we just go ahead and I'll put up a website and we'll branch out a little bit, we'll get some more people, which we've been doing, you know, people come and go. And so we got the website up, and then I petitioned the Atlantic Paranormal Society to be part of the Taps family. And that happened in 2005, so we've been with the Taps family for about 4 years now.
You just stole my next question, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this Taps thing, I've never heard of them. They I'm kidding.
Okay. Watch some TV and you'll find out.
I've been watching the Cartoon Network.
So, Michael, being from New York, I've been up to the Houghton Mansion myself a few times, and I saw the episode of Ghost Adventures that you were on.
Uh-huh.
So what did you think of Zach and the guys?
I've known Zach for a number of years. He was first doing his documentary with the Goldfield.
Yeah, that was great.
He asked me if I wanted to go, and I was like, well, and I can because I have 3 kids. And work swing shift, and my wife works day shift, so it kind of makes things a little hard at times. And I was like, well, they asked me to do some analysis for them on their first documentary, which I did. You know, they not the brick being thrown, but about 3 or 4 years ago, Zach, you know, he asked me, you know, what do you think of this picture? So I did some analysis for him on his photos, and they gave us kudos in the Ghost Adventures, a documentary that they did in Goldfield. So I've known Zach for about 4 years, and he's a nice guy. Him, Nick, and Aaron, they have their own way of investigating. It's, you know, and everybody does. And I'm not knocking them for how they investigate, but they do get good results the way they investigate. Some people may think, you know, going in and going to that extreme, that's, you know, that's bad. But, you know, as I said, it's, you know, we're all in this field here together to do one thing, to see if there's anything in the afterlife.
Well, according to Zach, he only does that to the bad ghosts, so to speak. You know what I mean? He doesn't...
evil spirits.
It seems like that's what they pursue are the negative entities.
Right.
You know, on certain parts. you know, they do pursue positive, but they also do pursue the negative, you know. And as I said, everybody has their own way of doing their own investigating. Zach, Aaron, and Nick are all great guys. They get good results. They work well as a team. And kudos goes to them for what they get, you know.
Yeah.
But some people may turn around and look and say, well, I don't like that way of investigating. Well, yeah, everybody has their own way. I'm not preaching you should do this or that or what you, you know, once you get into the field, you find your own niche on what you want to do, mm-hmm. you know, how you want to investigate. That's like with our group. We have everybody in our group has a different talent that they add in. Like I'm the EVP specialist for the group.
Right.
Wally's our chief photographer. We have John, who's another photographer. We have other people who are like EVP techs, you know, so everybody adds something to the group.
Right, and
know,
everybody brings in
positive thing.
Everybody brings in different belief systems as well, right?
Yeah, yeah, which we don't have a negativity about that at all. That's some of them, they have their own religious beliefs.
Right.
Or their own scientific beliefs or whatever, but as a LVPI as a base group, it's scientifically based, which we don't use psychics.
Right.
You know, we say you can't prove the paranormal with the paranormal. You know, if you have that ability, then I'm glad, you know, good. I'm glad that you have that ability, but we if we do use a psychic or something, we've used dowsing rods in the past,
mm-hmm.
but we need a piece of equipment to back it up, say with the dowsing rods, we would use an EMF meter, and we actually have had a case where the EMF meter did correspond with the readings that the dowsing rods were doing.
Right.
We did get some sort of manifestation that way.
Well, yes, because when you use a psychic, it's just like a personal experience. It's not really mm-hmm. a technical, you know, piece of evidence. It's the same as if you experience something personal.
You don't have a picture. You don't have audio. You don't have and you know, the DVR clip or anything like that. You can't go by feeling. That's why I said you can't prove the paranormal.
Right.
You know, if the client calls us or emails us, you know, we want you to come in and investigate the house. You know, we come in, we do the interview process. We explain to them what we're going to do, you know, set up a DVR system. We'll be doing infrared thermometer readings. EMF readings, and some of the clients are actually curious on how it goes, you know, and we do encourage the client to watch what we do,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they see it on TV, and we have people tell us, and well, am I going to be on the Sci-Fi Channel? It's like, no. I had to put a disclaimer on the website.
I saw it.
Jason and Grant will not be here to, you know, you're not going to be on Pilgrim Films cameras or Sci-Fi Channel or whatever. We're part of the TAPS family. We're like an extension. We're here to help you as best as we can.
So I have
actually had some people that are like, you know, that's okay. You know, that's no problem. But we've actually had some people that were, I'll kind of say this, that our cases have dropped tremendously since I put that.
That's what I was about to ask. Have you had any people that were really disappointed?
Sometimes. But then we explain to them what we're in the, you know, what we're here to do. And then they're like, okay, but it kind of roughs the edges, you know, it smooths the rough edges out for the client, you know, so then they're like, okay, well, I actually do have, you know, something going on, people, you know, because some clients don't know who to turn to, they're like, I don't want, you know, my neighbor to think I'm nuts, I don't want to expose this to them, my spouse or my partner may think that I'm going crazy or something, that's what we're here for, we're here to use the fear to see if you're dealing with something paranormal or not. Because
right.
when we go in, we go in to prove or disprove. You know, we go in to see if they have leaky floorboards or a water pipe that's bad or, you know.
Absolutely.
Well, as long as they understand that you're going to conduct the investigation just like Jason and Grant would if they were there, except they're not going to be on television. I mean, they're going to get your assistance, which is really what the bottom line is.
Yeah, because we sit there and we tell them that, you know, please show us the key areas where you're having paranormal activity. And they're like, well, over here it's really creaky and cold. And it's like, well, let's take a look and see if we can find anything. Because we have people that are, we have one that's an environmental engineer. You know, she can tell about different minerals and whatnot that are in the earth. We have one that's an electrician, you know, that can tell, you know, if there's bad wiring or something. So that's good key things to have with the group. That way they can turn around and say, you know what? it's, you know, you explain to us your haunting goes on at this time every day. You know, that person may think it was a residual haunting. They're going to turn around and say, well, look at what's going on. Your water pipe is, the pipes are banging at this time because it's settling, you know.
Right.
So they're like, oh, okay, that's no problem. But we've had clients, too, though, where they're kind of disappointed. They actually want the haunting. They do want the ghost. You know, it's like, well, I came back with the evidence that we came up with, and we didn't fudge on anything. You know, this is what we caught.
Right.
Like, well, they're not extremely like a mad or anything. They're just like, well, man, that kind of.
Yeah, they're disappointed, right, because they think it would be cool to have a ghost in their house.
Yeah. Well, then there's people that actually want to turn around. They want to get rid of the ghost.
Right.
You know, and that's what we explain to them, that, you know, we do give them different answers that they can seek. You know, we actually have a person that's a counselor. She's for, what do you call it?
House cleansings?
No, she's a guidance counselor for emotions and whatnot.
Like a spiritual counselor?
A psychologist?
No. Like, kind of like a psychiatrist type thing.
Okay.
Where she can see depression or anger, or, you know, and she can kind of give advice on giving different names to where they can go seek professional help, you know, if they're dealing with depression or anger or, you know, some sort of, you know, schizophrenia or whatever. Because we've got cases where people... I had a call one time where someone wanted us to come in and investigate their freezer down in this motel in Las Vegas, and I talked to a friend who was a Metro cop, and he goes, I wouldn't go, and I called him up and told him that we weren't going to do it. He goes, it sounded like you're being set up, they were probably going to rob you and kill you.
Oh.
So, yeah. So there's dangers of the paranormal, too, when it comes to that, where you have to be very careful of these clients that you can deal with sometimes. You don't know if they're just in it they want the paparazzi, or sometimes you don't know if they're unbalanced. You know, that's why we have our counselor with us, too.
Yeah.
You know, she
yeah.
can sit there and see the signs of any augmentation in personality.
Right, or drug abuse.
Oh, yeah, we've had that. We've had people where they've had drug abuse, and they're so depressed, and they're hearing voices. What's the use of the drug that's taking a toll on a person?
Right.
You know, and the counselor can tell us, you know, this person has been doing, you know, doing drugs, and I can tell by the rhythms I'm getting from this person. Not the rhythms, but the signs, you know, the signs of the big eyes or dilated pupils or pale skin or whatever.
Yeah, we've had cases like that as well. And we have also had the type of people where they, I hate to say it, they want to feel special. Like they're in tune with the ghosts, and they can hear every word they're saying to them mentally. And, you know, and we've gone in with our equipment and we didn't capture anything. So are they in tune with the ghosts? We can't say for sure, but, you know, we have to go by our data, and our data, you know, doesn't suggest it. Then we have to tell them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's what we, you know, that's what, after the investigation's over, we go through the evidence, you know, DVR, audio, pictures, whatnot. And then we go back to the client and we do the analysis, and we show them, this is what we came up with. Do we have paranormal activity going on in your house? Well, we have a couple of EVPs, we have this or that or whatever, you know, show it to them. And then there's the other cases where we turn around and say, we don't have anything at all. We've had sighs of relief. We've had disappointment because they actually want the entity. You know, it's always a different reaction, but most of the time it's just people that want to have someone come in and listen to what they're dealing with, you know, see if there's actually something there. And when we turn around and tell them, you know, you're not dealing with anything, after the evidence is revealed to them, then they're like, it's actually a weight of relief taken off of them.
Yeah, that's the majority for us as well.
You know, and that's another thing that comes up, that some people think that a group should be paid. I don't think so, to do an investigation. You know, I believe there's a group in California that charges $200 for doing investigating and eradication of an entity.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm serious.
Well, we only charge $175. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, okay. No, we don't.
No, we don't.
We are completely free.
So are we.
$200?
Well, we have people email us and they ask us how much is the fee, and I said the fee is free, and just all I ask, you know, in my own personal belief, is that what I feel in payment is the gratitude is that we were able to help out with this person.
Exactly. You know, do you know the name of this group, Michael, in California that charges $200?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't.
Okay.
There was a podcast that was on about 2 or 3 weeks ago I was listening to. I forgot the show, but they had this group on that was in California. They charged $200 to come in, contain the entity, and eradicate the entity.
Did they put the ghost in a bottle and then sell it on eBay?
Was this Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd showing up? I mean, whoa.
Well, you know what the problem is that
Egon with the PK meter.
Yeah.
The proton packs. Well, the problem is that some people might look and go, well, this group is free and this group is charging $200. You know, if they're charging $200, they must be better than the group that's free because, you know, wouldn't they charge me if they were really, you know, good at what they did?
Yeah.
That's the problem that you're going to have. You know, people are going to think, well, if you're paying for it, it must be better.
Yeah, we've had people say, what, you're free? Like, they're really in shock. They thought they'd have to pay something. And we tell them, no, this is strictly for research and to help people.
Well, and that's sad to sit there and hear that a group would charge. You know, how can you charge for something that you don't know if it's fair or not?
Right.
You know, that's like giving a false product. You know, that's what we're all in it for. We're in here to see if there's an afterlife from what we're living, you know, and that science doesn't take it as a science yet, but that's why we're all together. You know, some groups are in it for the spirituality part of it, as my group is in it for the scientific investigating and proof to show to people that, yes, we do have documentation, pictures or whatever that does exist. Mm-hmm. You know, so how can you charge a person $200 for something that you don't know if it even exists?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's kind of disappointing because that gives us all a bad name. You know,
yes.
They're going to think, well, if this guy's charging me $200, then the other groups are going to be like that too. You know, and that's it takes one apple to ruin the whole bunch, you know what
right.
I mean? And that's what we try to explain. You know, we tell people that, you know, we do this on our own time. It's free. You know, there's nothing you should worry about. We're not going to come in and rob you or anything like that. We've done many investigations where most of the clients have come out, they've turned around, and they've been happy with it, you know. Some of the clients haven't been happy just due to the fact that they're not on the ghost, you know, they want the paparazzi.
Right.
You
know? Well, it's free for them, but it's actually a very expensive hobby for us, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And some people...
Well, yeah, it is.
Some people think that this is our job.
I've been doing this. You know, I put a couple of grand in equipment.
Oh,
so
yeah,
it's been expensive for me just for, you know, and Wally, when he does the photography... When we do an investigation, we do the digital. We do also the 35mm and Polaroid film too, and that stuff's not cheap, you know.
Plus, not to mention all the time, you know, the time investigating and the time you use to review and everything. It all adds up.
Oh yeah, it all adds. But it's worth it.
Yeah,
once you find that EVP or that photograph, then you go, hey, they got something. Now we can go back to the client and show them that we do have something.
Exactly. You know, something we do it because it's our passion.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Can you tell us about one of your favorite investigations?
My favorite? Probably one of my favorites is when I first saw my first apparition. It was at the Boulder Dam Hotel in Boulder City. And I'll kind of give you a little quick little history about the Boulder Dam. It was built in the 1930s. One of the owners was found mysteriously... They don't know if it was suicide or murder, but they found he was missing for several days, and they found him in a creek. He had rocks tied to his arms and his legs, and he died mysteriously that way. So they don't know if it was suicide or if it was maybe it was gang-related back then. But several entities do inhabit the hotel, and we had an investigation last year where we had another group a local group called the Nevada Paranormal Research Group. We teamed up with them and went in. And I was getting on one of the elevator that runs from the lobby down to the basement. And as I was getting onto the elevator, I heard this lady say, wait, please, you know, like, wait. So I was like, oh. So I turned my head, and when I turned and looked at her, she looked like she was dressed in 1930s garb.
Wow.
You know, and but she had black hair. The outfit was black. And as the door was closing, I noticed I can see right through her. I was like, oh, wait, hold on. So I got downstairs. I pushed the button to go back up. The elevator took me back up. Uh-oh. I looked, and she wasn't there.
Oh, that's probably one elevator ride you regret taking.
No.
Yeah, I did regret because, of course, I didn't have my camera with me. It's always the time when you don't have something with you, you know. But I that's the first time I saw my first apparition. And I have the EVPs with the, you know, the photographs and whatnot. But that was the first time I'd seen a full-bodied apparition. I saw through, and a little disappointed I didn't have my camera with me, but, you know, it's something I at least have in mind that I saw, you know.
Ghost in an elevator. Okay, sorry. I would have loved to have been there for that one.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I've seen pictures where, you know, is there to be envious of other groups? Not really, you know. More power, like, you know, if you guys caught a full-bodied apparition on a DVR or a picture, I wouldn't be jealous. You know, I'd be like, hey, you guys got something good. I'd be cheering you on, you know.
Right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Envious is different than jealous, you know. And it only enhances what we do to see other people's, you know, evidence.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. But that's where the paradrama comes up. And I'm going to say paradrama because that's what the field turns to sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We've all been there.
Oh, yeah. We've been through it. I'm sure you guys have been through
it. Yes, we have.
There's groups that sit there and say, our investigating is the best way. That's why. That's what I said. You know, we're not against this person because they're spiritualists. They don't use scientific instruments. We're not against that. You know, if you guys get good results for it, more power to you. We're a scientific-based group. That's the way we do it. This other group may do it differently, but, you know, the way I look at it, we're all in it together trying to find an answer.
Right, and it makes it better that everybody does things differently.
And there are no experts in the field.
No, there's not. No, there's
you
not.
Can't be an expert at this.
No, you can't be an expert. And I did get certified as an EVP specialist, but the reason I did that, I know it's not a valuable, tangible thing, but to me, it feels like it's self-satisfaction.
Right.
That I bettered myself at trying to do EVP.
Right, and you learned more too.
Oh yeah, you know, some people turn around. Well, it's just a piece of paper. It's not authentic. I know that. But to me, it's self-satisfaction that I'm able to. The passion that I was pursuing in this field has paid up for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's giving back to myself. It's self-satisfaction that I can go out and I can get EVP now. Because when I first started out, I'd go out and try to get EVP, and I would be like, oh, yeah, I'm not getting anything. You know, but then I turned around and I got advice from, Mark and Daddy Constance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're from Spirit Speak. I talked to them. We did a couple of conferences with them. And here in Las Vegas, and I talked to Mark and Debbie and email them on, you know, what's the best results for this and that, and they gave me some advice, and I've emailed like Tom and Lisa Butler from AAEVP, and I talked to them, you know, different people, they give their own advice, which is great, you know, you got those people out there, like, I'm friends with Janice Oberding, Janice is a good lady, I've asked her questions on history, and she's always given me back, you know, the results, and it's always great to have friends that can turn around and say, hey, I'm not better than you. I'm equal to you, you know.
Now, you're the EVP tech for your group, and I hate to ask this of you, but we do have a lot of new listeners. So could you just, for the audience, tell everyone what EVP is?
EVP is electronic voice phenomena. That's when a voice can hear it, you know, when an entity speaks. But an electronic device such as a digital voice recorder, a tape recorder, or a reel-to-reel recorder can pick up. Well, they've even documented answering machines can pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically the dead that are talking back to you.
And what is your preferred recorder? Do you like analog or digital?
I've had luck with both. If anybody's pursuing EVP, you know, I prefer the older models. Based on, you know, like the Sony ICDB7, the ICDB16, the Panasonic QR80, the VR60 is a little bit too expensive in my taste at this time, because it being the first, one of the first digital voice recorders was taking up EVP, you know, and now you go on eBay and you see them for $1,500, and I don't think the recorder is worth that much.
I agree.
Because I feel the older ones produce their own white noise, internal mechanism noise, and it'll be lousy for, say, if you're taking a collegiate course in college, you know, a lecture series. It's lousy for that, but it's great for EVP because it's so, you know, the internal noise is good for them to speak out.
Right. We got lucky here at Island Ghost because Mike just happens to be an audio engineer. So that works out really good for us.
And he has like 3,000 voice recorders.
He's obsessed.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I would say 3,000. I may have like 40.
It's like, look, sweetie, look what I got this week. It's like, oh.
Well, at least I know somebody's not as bad as me. I have about 12 of them. I was like, oh, you got 40? Okay, that's...
I've been collecting for a while.
Which is your favorite?
It's hard to say. When I do investigations, I like to use two recorders. I like to use one older recorder, and I like to use one high fidelity recorder, like the Zoom H2, as a reference monitor, basically. Because I find with a lot of the older recorders, you can pick something up that might sound like an EVP, but if you go to the other recorder, which has really good clarity, you can tell, oh, well, that was just so-and-so sighing or something. And I found by doing this method, I actually get a lot less EVPs. But, I want to be honest and true to the clients and everything. So, but as far as digital recorders go, I usually stick with the Sonys pretty much. I have a few Olympuses, but I use the B17. Boy, I can't even think offhand. The P620, is it? I forget the model number. The one that basically Taps uses.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that one, yeah.
Yeah. But I own a lot of recorders, and I like experimenting. I use parabolic mics. I use dummy jacks to cut off all of the microphone audio just to see if I can capture anything. And yeah. I have on occasion, so it's fun experimenting and playing around, but I'm sure, as you know, it's a very expensive hobby.
Oh, yeah, it is. Well, that's the thing, too, is that, people have asked me, how do I get EVP or what's the best way? I said experimentation is good, because I've done EVP with microphones, without microphones, so using it like omnidirectional. Some people are like, is that a good microphone to use? I'm like, this is. I've gotten EVPs off omnidirectional mics. With or without mics, experiment. That's your best, is your best thing, is to try to go that way.
You're picking up a little bit of weird noise in the background. Are you near a TV or something?
No, uh-uh.
Okay, maybe we have some EVPs coming in on the
show. You never know.
But what's your weapon of choice on investigation as far as audio recorders?
I have four. Radio Shack QR85. Panasonic QR80. There's another one that's a Panasonic XR320. It's a Panasonic, one of the first ones and last ones that I know that uses an SD memory card. ICDD7 Sony and the ICDD16. Those are the ones I use most of the time.
I have the 7 and the 16 as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice recorders. It gets expensive experimenting, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's what eBay is for.
Exactly. You were kind enough to send us some EVPs, and we'd like to go and play some of these now. Should I say what these are, or should I just play them and... see what we are hearing.
Go ahead and play them and see what you're hearing.
Okay. I hope you can hear these clearly. We're going to start off with this one. I think they're all in alphabetical order. We'll start with the first one. Play that again. Okay, I'm not sure what I'm hearing there. Can you hear this clearly? Can you tell us about that one?
Take us in. That was when I went to the Flamingo Hotel. The Flamingo is haunted by the spirit of Bugsy Siegel. And in the back of the hotel, they have this, I'd say like an aviary, you know, where they have that penguins and pink flamingos and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But they also have an area that has a memorial dedicated to Bugsy, but by the wedding chapel. And I was by the memorial, and I decided to take my ICDB-16, and I set it on the flat surface, and I played it and started recording. I said, if there's any spirits, when I do EVP, I do it positively. You know, I'll say, if you're around, could you please speak into the red light, you know. And I was there probably about 30 or 40 minutes, and I probably got about 9 to 10 EVPs within that session.
Since we're on the topic, do you believe in provoking?
Depends.
Okay.
we do it differently in our group. I'm more of a pacifist.
Right.
You know, I'm very polite. You know, I feel being polite and nice that actually does get you results. But we do have people in the group that do provoking a different way.
Right.
You know, but with me, I'm more, as I said, a pacifist. I'll sit there and not be negative. I'll be positive. It's the same thing with, you know, how would you want to be treated in the afterlife?
Right.
Same as you are in real life. If you treat me with respect, I'm sure you'd want to be treated the same way.
Absolutely.
So in doing EVP, that's how I do it. I'll ask questions, or there's times where I'll just try to visualize what this person is like and what they're trying to say.
Right.
You know, or I'll set the recorder on a flat surface, say in a house, or if it's a haunted historic location. But I got to make sure that nobody is around it to contaminate the evidence, you know. So that one EVP that you just played, it was at the Flamingo Hotel, the back back by Bugsy's memorial.
Okay, can you repeat what you think it said again?
Take us in.
Take us in.
Take us in. I heard us in.
Okay, let me play that again.
Okay. Take us in.
Yeah, I'm hearing the end part of that, definitely.
Yeah.
All right, let's move to the second one. That's interesting. All right, this one, again, I'm not going to name what these are. We'll just play them at first, and then we'll talk about them. I'm not sure what that's...
I heard something like they heard me or something.
Yeah, do you run these through filtering at all?
Adobe.
Okay, Adobe Edition, yes.
Mm-hmm, 1.5.
Okay. Well, what is this one saying? Because I'm not really hearing it, I'll be honest.
Can you turn it up a little bit? Because I can kind of barely hear it on the radio or on my phone.
Okay.
They heard me?
Well, I'll tell you what the file says. It says, I'm here.
Oh, play it again. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, it says, I'm here. This is a park that's in Las Vegas. It's called Fox Ridge Park. And there's the story goes, it's a lot of it's urban legend. The history of the park, there's a little boy that had gotten killed. But it was a hit and run accident. But the urban legend kicks in to where supposedly at midnight there's a swing that swings by itself, and we've been out there. But at midnight the little boy's spirit turns into a demon. But we've never seen a demon running around out there. You know, but we have picked up EVPs. That one was on on my Olympus PS2. I was messing around with. And there was nobody around. It was me. And actually, Zach Baggins was there.
That's the one that you were featured on Channel 5 with, right? That park?
Yes. It was that one.
Yeah, that's on your MySpace page, right?
Yeah. That's the one where we were at. Where Zach was with me. We were at Fox Ridge Park. And that's one of the EVPs I actually picked up out there. And it says, I'm here. You know, and there was nobody out there. It was Zach, me, and the reporter. You know, so then we were getting strange fluctuations on the trifold meter, and that EVP shirt turned up.
Okay, let's play that one again.
And it goes, I'm here.
Right. Yeah, I'm having trouble with that one. The first one I definitely could hear a lot better. Let's move to the third one now. Again, I won't say what this is. I hope you can hear it clearly. Oh, that one's interesting. Now, is that investigator in the background speaking? I'll play it again. All right, well, I'll tell you what it says. It says, "These doom kids." I'll play it again.
That's another one that was at Fox Ridge.
Okay.
We have, you know, some people get EVPs of ladies, you know, of women, of children, of men, you know, but this is something that was more of an animalistic type. You know, this was something I had never heard before. You know, it's what the entity is saying is saying, "These doomed kids," and this is in the park.
All right, let's play that again. Hold on, let's play it again for the audience.
You can kind of hear it. It's like, "These doomed kids."
Yeah.
Michael,
kind of like that.
Michael, during that EVP, is there an investigator speaking as well, or is that all EVP?
Let me see. I think there was someone talking in the back.
Okay.
But as he was talking, that when I do EVP, I sit there and say, "This is so-and-so talking in the back." That way I don't mistake that voice for them.
Right, right.
And this just kind of came out right as he was finished talking. It came out.
Yeah, so that's funny. Like, you never know when you're going to get one. So, you know, that happens a lot.
Something, you know, when there's groups of people talking.
Right.
Then it's like they'll just want to come out and talk. You know,
yeah.
They'll be talking over your vocalization.
We found that
and
to
I
be true,
that
too.
They use our vocalization sometimes to form their words.
Right.
Yes, we get that, too. And it's funny because we can do hour-long EVP sessions asking questions. But the minute we stop to speak to each other, that's when they jump in.
Oh, yeah.
It's rare that they answer questions. But let's play that one again. Yeah, I'm definitely hearing doomed kids.
No, I definitely hear it, too.
Yeah.
Let me play that again. It sounds almost like it's saying all these doomed kids. I don't know.
I got the part with these doomed kids.
Yeah,
because before that was Wally was talking, so I said Wally talking in the back, just so that way I wasn't, because, when you're doing EVP, when you're listening for it, you have to listen to anomalous sounds.
Yeah.
Not people talking or whatever, but like slight whispers or something that might catch your hearing off guard.
Yeah.
That's when I'm doing EVP, I look at the counter on the recorder and I'll say, okay, anomalous reading, anomalous sound at 2 minutes and 5 seconds in the recording, I'll mark it.
Right.
And I'll go back on Adobe and I'll play it through to see if I got anything. It depends on if sometimes they do need some sort of filtering, but then there's times where you can get a class A being the best, but what you do, A, B, C, and I think D is the worst type, and you can't even hear it. So it did need some sort of filtering.
Right. All right, let's play that one more time and then we'll move on to the next one. That's pretty interesting. I like that one. All right, this next one, here we go. I'll just play it. It sounds like a child.
That was at the Boulder Dam Hotel.
Is that a child's voice?
That was one of my first EVPs I ever got. We're at the Boulder Dam Hotel, and we had a radio station with us. And I left as I said, you can use a cassette recorder. And I had my cassette G recorder down in the basement, which I left recording. And, of course, there were no kids in the hotel or anything down in the basement. It was all dark. And I was like, we were getting ready to pack up and leave, and I was like, oh, man, I left my cassette recorder. So I ran downstairs, and I looked, and it had picked up something. I was like, all right. So I played it back a little bit, and I heard this. I was like, what is that? So I got home, and I started learning it through Adobe. And what I picked up, what I think it's saying, is a child. You can definitely hear a child, but to me, the child is saying, I'm a nice kid.
Yeah, it sounds like a child. Let me play that again.
The first one I heard, it sounded,
Sorry, go ahead.
At first, when I heard it, it sounded like I wanted ice cream, but I boosted it, and it sounds like the child was saying, I'm a nice kid.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm hearing nice kid or it's, you know, the power of suggestion that you said it, nice kid, so now that's what I'm hearing, but it definitely sounds like a child.
Yes.
Excellent, excellent. Let's play it one more time, and we'll go to the next one. All right, now for the next one. This is the last one here.
That's not hard to figure out what that's saying.
Oh, that's a definite get out.
Uh-huh. That was the story behind that one is about, probably about 15 miles out of Vegas, there's a park. It's called Spring Mountain Ranch Park. And in the park, they actually have some historical cabins and a schoolhouse and a cemetery. And I was up there. I took my my Radio Shack DR85, and I left it on the windowsill of the schoolhouse. But of course, you can't go into these buildings because they're historic monuments and whatnot, and they have the entranceways they're chained off. Uh-huh. So I was like, if there's any spirits that want to say anything to me, go ahead and say it. So I left the voice recorder on the windowsill, you know, and I sat there and monitored it for about 2 minutes. And I figured, well, that should give them the entity enough time to say something. So I turned it off, went home, and I got the. It sounds to me, it sounds like an old lady kind of pissed off saying, "Get out."
Oh, let's play it again.
Yeah, she doesn't sound like she was too happy.
That's exactly the impression I'm getting is an old lady, a grouchy old lady.
Yeah, we've captured some get outs. You gotta wonder what's going through their mind. It's like, just get out of my space. Let's play that one more time. Yeah, I think that's my favorite of the bunch.
Oh yeah, that's that one, and I think the child.
Yeah.
You know, a couple months ago, I went to there's a historic cemetery in Vegas too, Woodlawn Cemetery, and I got a female. A lady crying, and she, you know, after getting her recording of her crying, I got her again in another recording where she says, "I'm scared," you know. So you kind of feel bad that they feel like this, you know. It's like,
yeah,
I wish I could help, but you know,
we can't, or we don't know how to.
No, we can't, you know.
Yeah. But who do you admire in the field, Mike, living or dead?
I think it's saddening to hear that we lost Dr. Hans Holzer. You know, that he was a great doctor that brought a lot to the field. You know, there's a lot of people I admire, Jason and Grant.
Uh-huh.
I admire you guys for what you do. I admire everybody, basically. Just not one person. It's everybody that brings something to the field.
Oh, wait. Did I hear you say you admire us?
Who?
You admire us?
Why not? You guys are in the field. You're trying to prove the same thing I'm trying to do. Why not?
He admires us.
Thank you, Michael.
No, that's a great answer.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That's the best answer I've ever heard to that question.
Well, no, that's true. You know, I correspond with like Shannon Sylvia. Shannon sends me some EVPs from time to time, and
uh-huh.
Because she's so overwhelmed with stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody, I think Shannon's great because she's there. You know, she's trying to help out clients too. You know, she was on GHI. You know, but to her it's like no big thing. You know, but she's known in the field well. Dr. Hans Holzer, Jason and Grant. You know, Janice Oberding. I could sit there. You guys. I could name names a thousand times over, and I just think everybody that contributes to the field positively.
Right, and that's the key word, is positively.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we met Shannon Sylvia at Ghost Doc, and, you know, she came down and sat with us and just started chatting with us. It wasn't this like, hey, I'm a para-celebrity. And
yeah, she was the most down-to-earth para-celebrity, I guess you could call her, that I've ever met.
Yeah.
Oh, Shannon's the best.
And her husband, Jeff, too. Kudos to you guys.
Yeah, great people.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Michael, I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
What is your take, and feel free to give an honest answer, of your opinion of the orbs and the whole orb controversy?
Orbs are crap.
All right, Michael. Don't mince words.
That's my personal opinion of words I think are crap.
Okay.
You know, not to be negative about it, but, you know, you see so much dust and bugs flying around, and, you know, it's that you can't prove that with anything. You can't prove that it's a ghost by, a dust globular or a rain blob or whatever.
Right.
There's so many different
atmospheric conditions.
Orbs, there's dust orbs, bug orbs. You know, if you came up to me with a picture, I think, you know what, don't even show it to me because I'm going to tell you my opinion.
Yeah, you know, people hate to hear that, especially newbies or, you know, just regular people. They always want it to be their Aunt Tilly, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And they hate to hear anything else.
If I get a mist, then that's something to go with. Hey, that's interesting, you know.
Right.
But if someone comes up to me with the orb, I'm like, nah, I don't.
But there is that exception, Michael, that the one time I did capture on photo and I actually saw an orb, which was actually a ball of light emitting its own light energy.
Actually, so, I do agree with you on that.
Okay.
If an orb has a contrail behind it, then it's something to go with. But if it's just like a blob that shows up, then I'm like, forget it. But if it does have a contrail behind it, then that's something I do believe.
Right. So actually, orbs are real, but they're very rare. And and people are getting them confused with atmospheric conditions. That's the problem.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I say, you know, and I don't mean to be insulting by this, to the newbie, if it gets them involved in ghost hunting and they... If it's a gateway for them to move on to better things, then I say, you know, great. That's awesome.
Right. It's a learning experience. There were years ago, I admired my own orbs.
Hey, this is a family show here.
Is it?
I kind of laughed at mine and threw them away. I was like, man, how was that? You're just first starting out, but, you know, looking at them, like, it was an experience. You live and learn and you move on.
Right. You have to learn to go back and go over your own evidence and realize that, you know, maybe some of the things you captured when you first started, you know, isn't really paranormal.
Oh, yeah. You know, and that's not to disgruntle people first starting out.
Yeah.
You know, that's more to better yourself.
Right.
You know, it's like, that's what to look out for in photographs. Orbs, as you said, I think orbs, if they don't have a contrail behind them, then they're really not anything. It's something that can be explained. It can be dust, bugs, moisture, whatever.
Well, Michael, we're running short on time here, but can you just give out to the listeners your website and any events or anything you want to plug or have coming up?
We've got some private residences that we got going on. Our website is freewebs.com/LasVegasGhosts. And just some advice, you know, people, you know, first starting out that are listening, you know, if you're investigating, don't do it alone. Do it in a group, you know, deal with two or three people because some people, you know, speculate that, you know, I've been scratched or I, you know, something pushed me. It's not actually that, it's the fear. You know, people going upstairs, they're a little off guard of what's going on, and then they turn around, they could fall down the stairs themselves. So that's nothing paranormal.
Right.
You know, another thing is don't start out big. You know, start out with a voice recorder, a camera, and your mind.
Uh-huh.
You know, you don't have to go in with $1,000 worth of equipment. Start out small, then work it big. You know,
right.
It's just be careful and be smart. That's all.
Well, Michael, thank you for joining us tonight. We really enjoyed speaking with you.
Hey, you guys are really good too. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Michael.
Hope to run into you in the future.
Oh, no problem. If you ever want me as a guest again, I'm right here.
Okay, great.
Awesome.
Great. Well, that's our show for this week. Join us at islandghostradio.com. If you have any questions or issues, call us at 631-676-1079. Until next time.
What kind of issues would people contact us with? I have a rash. Please help.
Well, I'm used to saying that at work.
Okay. Well, all right. Take care, folks. Have a good night.
Don't forget to floss.
Brush your teeth.
Scrape your tongue.